What I have to present this morning is probably the most important thing I can tell you, because it is a pattern that was given in the gospel. It is the gospel. It's a pattern. And I want to share with you, what is a pattern? What is the pattern? And how do we relate to it today? First of all, is the gospel pattern really that important? You know, I have a lot of family members who have chosen different paths, and they're going to somewhere that I don't agree with. Is it that important? You probably all have a list of people who have gone somewhere else that is slightly off, that they're not following the pattern as we see it. Is it really that important or not? We need to find out. It's a crucial thing, because those people that we care about so much, that we love so much, are in this pattern. What is it? Where did we get it? Can it be altered? What about those who do differ that I just mentioned, and what can we do? It is a very serious subject, and I hope to present to you, a pattern is nothing more than a group of small parts. Now, if you think about it, when you're in school, you learn this very quickly. You put, you know, the little circle, circle, triangle, circle, circle, triangle. You teach a little child from the very beginning, what is a pattern? But what you're really teaching them is that a pattern is a group of small parts. It's not one whole thing, but it's a group of parts. In this case, you can see the one and the two and the three and the four. They're different pieces of a pattern. You can also see that patterns are recognizable. You see this second example, something's different. Something is not the same. It goes 2, 4, and then 5, and then 8, 10, and 12. The 5 doesn't fit. It's a different thing. It's not a part of the pattern. And guess what? This is no longer a pattern. It is not a pattern at all. By definition, the pattern, if it is changed, if it is altered, if pieces are removed or added, they are no longer a pattern. And we'll see that according to Scripture. You look at the second example there, a pattern can be easily recognized. You see the blue lines, and they repeat, and they're symmetrical, and you can easily recognize them. And when something is wrong with it, like in the case of the number 5, it's red, and the rest of them are black, it's very easy to recognize. Patterns are easy to recognize. Which pattern? Did you know the world has a pattern? The world has probably lots of patterns. But in Scripture, it talks about the pattern of the world. We can look at the pattern of the world. What is it? Well, it's full of greed. It's full of selfishness. It's full of do what feels right, do what feels good, please yourself. That's the pattern of the world. Easy to recognize. We can understand it. We can watch them. We can watch them go down this bad path and end up in destruction. That's the pattern of the world. But there's another pattern. Philippians 3, verse 17. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Where did this pattern come from? It was given by the apostles. That's a different pattern than the world has. That's a pattern that was given, and people should be taking note of those who live according to this pattern. So I have an example. I went to Walmart, and I got me a pattern. And of course, when you're a kid, you look at this thing and you say, oh, neat, look, this is a beautiful blue shirt, and there's going to be a blue shirt. And then you open it up, and you look for this beautiful blue shirt, and what do you find? A bunch of rags. You find inside of this pattern, a pattern is made up of a whole bunch of little parts. Just like I told you, a pattern is different than we often think it is. So this is a pattern. It's made up of a bunch of little pieces. This one, probably long one, is probably a belt. And here's a shirt pocket. You know, I could put the pocket and many things I can do with this pattern. So then this is the pattern. Pattern that was entrusted, and that we're going to see how it works in the gospel too. It's not very cost effective, by the way. I tried to buy a cheap pattern because I was going to cut it up. You know, I'm going to waste it, right? So I thought, well, I'll just get one. It's like $4. I can buy a shirt for $4 just for the pattern. Amazing. Anyways, there's an example of a pattern to help you understand what is a pattern. The pattern was given by the apostles. Remember, we just read, we gave you the pattern. Take note of those who follow the pattern we gave you. Here's some more. Jesus gave the apostles. He gave the apostles keys to the kingdom of the heaven. We don't understand this fully. We don't know what it involves. But what he does say is, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The pattern was not 100% Jesus' idea. The pattern was given to the apostles. They built. That is why in Scripture we find out, live according to the pattern of the apostles. Follow the apostles' doctrines and teachings, because they did things, and what they bound, and what they loosed, they loosed. That's why it's so important for us to look at what did the apostles do. Here are some examples. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 2. For you know that the instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Where did the instructions come from? The apostles gave the instructions. That's what a pattern is. It's nothing more than instructions. It's nothing more than, if I open this up and read it, it's going to be a whole lot of complicated instructions that I don't understand. Cut carefully. And by the way, that stuff's hard to cut. It's tissue paper. It's tiny. And I ripped some. I thought, well, I'll just cut it, you know, be real careful. I got brand new scissors with titanium edges, which was not the right idea, because those are really hard to move. So, and I'm going to cut this real perfect, careful pattern. It's tough to hold a pattern. It really is. That is what in Scripture we must do. We must hold the instructions, even though it's tough and it's hard and it's easy to get it wrong. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the Holy Spirit and the command given by our Lord and Savior through the apostles. Where did it come from? I'm going to establish this very clearly. It came through the apostles. That's important. It's the pattern that we are entrusted with. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. With faith and love in Christ Jesus, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. I've often heard the good deposit in this verse used wrong. The good deposit of the Spirit that was put in our hearts. No, the good deposit here is the pattern. It's the scriptural pattern. It's the teaching that was entrusted to us. And how do I know for sure that it's not talking about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit helps us guard this good deposit. This is not the Holy Spirit. This good deposit is the pattern that we have to hold, that we have to maintain. In this case, my pattern came from simplicity. And there's other patterns out there. There's McCall and there's many others. But simplicity is this pattern. It's not a McCall pattern. It's an easy, simple one, which, by the way, about all you can find at Walmart is stage one, easy and simple. And I'm kind of glad, because I think if I got a more complicated pattern, I wouldn't even be able to cut it. But we guard the pattern of teaching that was entrusted to us. You're going to start to see this pattern repeated and repeated and repeated throughout Scripture. Given by the apostles, given to us, but not just given, entrusted. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. We speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are trying not to please men, but to please God who tests our hearts. So I'm going to give you an example of entrusting. Now, this is my pattern. I've already established the pattern, right? I'm going to entrust this pattern to Rusty. I'm entrusting you with this pattern. Now, what did I just do? Did I give Rusty the permission to change, to alter the pattern in any way? Do I expect him to take pieces out or add pieces or cut some more? Or, you know, he thinks he's got a really good idea for this pattern, that he's going to draw me a new pattern, whatever. No, it's entrusted to Rusty. And he is entrusted to guard it. The same way, it's not that he's going to wait for robbers to come steal it out of his hands. That's part of it. But what he's really entrusting is that the pattern remains the same until he gives it back to me. And that is what entrusted means. It remains exactly the same until he gives it back. We're entrusted with the gospel. The pattern is not just entrusted to the apostles, it's entrusted to us. Just like I entrusted that pattern with Rusty, Jude 1 verse 3, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, he wanted to write him about this other exciting stuff, he couldn't. I felt I had to write to you to urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. There's a lot of power in these words. Once. The pattern was created one time. McCall's and Simple and all those people, they make one time, they make this pattern, and it's already done. It's there. If it contains an error, It's in that package that I got from Walmart. It's not true with the Bible. The Bible does not contain errors. It was entrusted to man through God, the Word of God. It has once been entrusted for all. Now, for all means me, you, Rusty, the apostles, the churches, the many people. It was entrusted. It was given out. This is the pattern given out. It was entrusted to the saints. To the saints means it includes me. It includes you. It includes everyone else. We are entrusted. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. That is a pattern that it passes down. You know, I have some patterns from my grandma, Grandma Driesen, and she made me a shirt once, and I love it, and it's too small. Well, actually, I'm too big, but I did fit in it one time. She made me this beautiful shirt, and she had this pattern that she followed, and from then on, it's there. It's entrusted to me. Now I have this pattern. I can choose to trust it to others if I want to. The scripture, the message of the gospel, the instructions of the apostles were designed this way. You entrust it to someone else. Eventually, I have to entrust it to Brighton. And it's not my choice. It's not my pattern. It's the pattern that I got from the apostles. And I pass it on to Brighton. And Grampy passed it to me, and I pass it to him. Brighton's going to need to pass it to someone else, because it's that kind of a pattern. It must be entrusted to reliable men. No part of that pattern was left out. Look at this. Colossians 1, verse 25, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. I'm going to give you a complete pattern. The pattern is not subject to, well, I think this is a good part. Let's use this part. That's a good part. I like the sleeve. No, I like the pocket. No, if you're going to make a shirt, you need the entire pattern. You cannot leave any pieces out, and we see this all the time. The world says, well, just come to God as you are. Repentance, nah, we don't need fruits. What is that? Fruits of repentance. We don't need any of that. Baptism, they don't want to get their hair wet. They're not going to go get baptized. We need to leave that out. The pattern is in danger and corrupted because people choose to leave pieces out. And that is the danger when those loved ones that go to another place, that go, they say, well, we can follow all this other stuff. But I know they have some weird things. You know, they let the women teach. They all this stuff. That is a destructive pattern. It is not the correct pattern. Therefore, it is no pattern. It's got a five in it. It is no longer a pattern. You can't recognize it. You can't run it down the line. You can't say this is a pattern. It's no longer a pattern. An altered pattern is no longer a pattern. Let me get back what I entrusted to Rusty.
Just as it was.
Thank you. So Rusty faithfully was entrusted with the pattern. At least we think he was. We better check. Oh no. What if there's a part missing? Which part would be easy to leave out? The pocket? The sash? The left side of the shirt over here? The right side? The point is the pattern must be given as it was given and entrusted. It's got to be all complete, and it's got to be all there, or it's no longer a pattern. It will never make a shirt. No parts added. You know, I didn't look at that. Galatians 1, verses 6 and 7. I am astonished that you so quickly desert the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are trying to throw you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Did you notice something very key here? A different gospel is no gospel. It's not. It's not a pattern anymore. You cannot recognize it. You can't put it together. It doesn't fit. A different pattern, an altered pattern, is not a pattern. The same thing is true with the gospel. An altered gospel is not gospel at all. Here's an example. Let's see what Rusty added in here. Uh-oh. Found something. You know what? It doesn't quite match. This is the pattern, right? Something is wrong with this pattern. It's the wrong material. It feels wrong. It looks wrong. Look at all this. Nice and neatly printed on tissue paper, right? This has got weird lines, and it's blue and it's red, and the pattern is obviously spelled incorrectly. Somebody added to this pattern. If I put this in here, where am I going to put it in my shirt? If I sewed this piece on the bottom or on the side here, wouldn't it be disgusting and ugly and wrong? because somebody altered the pattern. This happens all the time in Scripture. They say, well, it doesn't really mean that women are to be silent in the churches. That was just for something back there. And they put this big, ugly thing and sew it on, and no longer, it's no longer a pattern. It's no longer gospel. They're throwing you into confusion. The apostles gave it. I mentioned this one already. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Jesus built as the chief cornerstone, built on the apostles. They did some things too, and they had a part in this building. It's where we get our pattern from. Acts 16, verse 4. I want to cover just a little bit about the apostles, because there's a lot of people who say, well, we have our apostles, so we can change it, right? Acts 16, verse 4. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. If you have an apostle in your church, you had better obey him as God's word, because he's an apostle. Do we have those? Well, let's find out. I've heard people say, well, there's no qualifications for apostles, so we can have our own, whatever we want to make them up. A quorum of 70 apostles, or whatever we want to do, we can make them up. That is a lie. There are qualifications for an apostle given in Scripture. Acts 1, verse 21 is the qualifications they needed an apostle. We just got one dead, Judas. He died. He's gone. We need to replace him. It's important that we replace him, but what are the qualifications to replace this apostle? Here they are. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. A real apostle must be a witness. They must have physically met Jesus. And every single one of them in Scripture, that's true. Even Paul. He was born out of season. Did he meet Jesus? Yes, he certainly did, on the road to Emmaus. He was a witness of physical Jesus. Can anybody today meet this? Were you there? Were those apostles that you're claiming your new doctrine from, were they there at John's baptism? Were they there when Jesus was taken up? No. Of course, it's silly. Here's some more. 2 Corinthians 12:12. The thing that mark an apostle. Apostles are marked by qualifications. Signs, wonders, and miracles were done among you with great perseverance. These apostles, that so-called new apostles, had better be doing these kind of things. Not only should they be preaching Scripture that you teach and you say this is Scripture, but they must be doing these signs, wonders, and miracles if they qualify. Some claim that they do. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, if anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. There is no doubt that in Scripture an apostle wrote God's command. They wrote the very words of God, the very Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, and we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. If these new doctrine people have apostles, they had better be following every word that apostle says as doctrine, as the word of God. And of course they don't. They go for advice and counsel, but everything that person writes down is not Scripture. Something is wrong with that pattern. That's no pattern at all. They had a season. Remember he said, like one born out of season. Why did he say that? Because the apostles had one season, and that was it. And then it's over. The season has passed for the apostles. Their missions, of course, were completed when they died. They gave us, they entrusted it to us, they died. It's over. The apostleship is over. It's easy to see from Scripture, but if you conflict it and conflute it and mess it up, then it's harder to see. Keep away from the wrong pattern. I want to show you how ugly this is again right here. This is ugly. It is not like the pattern. Keep away from it. That's what Scripture says to do. Ugh. Romans 16, verse 17. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching which you have learned. That's against the pattern. Contrary to the teaching that you have learned, keep away from them. They're dangerous. It's not a game, it's not a toy, it's not something you can trifle with. The pattern is so important. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. See this theme keep going and going as this pattern continues. You received it from us, this group of teaching, this pattern. You received it from us. Keep it. I want to point out something else. This verse is often used to say, withdraw from the lazy person. Withdraw from the lazy person. He's idle. No, he's idle because he did not live according to the pattern. It's easy to just take the pattern and say, well, it's okay, but I don't really want to repent. I don't really want to baptize. I don't really want to get my hair wet. It make it easy, right? They don't live according to the teaching. That is the dangerous thing in this verse, more than idleness, that the guy is not holding the pattern. The pattern is vital to salvation. Now, a lot of people say, well, we're going to judge our sins, and I do this too sometimes. We're going to judge our sins based on which one will jeopardize my soul. And therefore, the ones that are going to jeopardize my soul, I really need to hang on to and be careful about. But the ones that are not, well, it's okay, I can let them go. How about this one? Is the holding of the pattern, the holding of the gospel, is that a matter of salvation? That's the question. 1 Timothy 1, verse 8. Law is not made for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and the sinful and the unholy and the irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers and adulterers and perverts and slave traders and liars and perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Is it a matter of salvation? Absolutely. This verse says, if you don't hold to the pattern, you're as good as a lawbreaker, murderer, who kills their father and mother, perjurer, slave trader, and a liar. If you do not hold to the sound pattern that was delivered. Is it a matter of salvation? Unfortunately, yes. The matter of salvation that I must be careful with my own people, with my own teaching, that it's constant and consistent to the pattern. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Is the matter of salvation in this verse? Absolutely. Watch your life and doctrine, your pattern, closely. Now, here's an interesting question. If I'm walking very, very well, walking a good pattern and people can watch it, and then I deviate, I sin in public, what does that do to my pattern? Is it a pattern anymore? No. Now it's a mess. I have just destroyed the pattern that I was walking with a sin. And unfortunately, it happens. We throw away our pattern. We say, we're not going to do it. We can damage both ourselves and our hearers, or we can save them by following the pattern. 2 John 1 and verse 9. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. These verses didn't mean so much to me a long time ago. They do now. A wicked work is bringing a false pattern. Putting that thing in the pattern and messing it up destroys it. It's a wicked work. It's something that has no God. But if you continue in the teaching, you have both the God and the Father and the Son. It is very vital to salvation. Almost at the end. I want to show you this. I ran over it and I thought I had a mistake in my lesson. I thought I had duplicated a scripture. Galatians 1 verse 8. But if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Now, not only could I not say that any clearer, he said it twice in the same verses. Let me make this perfectly clear. Eternally condemned. That's significant. That's important. I better hold on to my pattern, because it's that crucial to my salvation and to the salvation of those around me. So what can I do? All right, you've convinced me, brother. I don't want to mess up the pattern. What can I do? I'm not going to go into this a whole lot. I've already covered some of it. Titus 1 and verse 9, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. You know, if you mess your pattern up, you will never be able to do this. You will never be able to stand on anything because your pattern is wrong. It does not conform to Scripture. So if I came to you and I said, women are to remain silent in the church, but you know that I had a problem, like I don't accept people who have been baptized, or I don't think they need to be repented, or any of those things. If I have messed up my gospel, the rest of it is useless. I can't stand on anything. I no longer have a pattern. I no longer have a pattern. He must hold firmly. That's what we can do. We can hold firmly to the pattern. I'm going to hang on to that thing. I'm not going to give it away. I'm not going to entrust it to someone that I don't fully trust. As it has been taught, as it remains the same, it hasn't changed, so that it can encourage others by sound doctrine, is part of the pattern, sound doctrine. Titus 2, verse 1, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. These things are hard to do, by the way. That's a qualification for an elder. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it was delivered. It's a significant thing. The gospel pattern, then. What is a pattern? It's bits of instruction. It's pieces. It's not a whole. It's a bunch of pieces collected together. Where did we get it? The apostles. When they were given it, the apostles entrusted it to us. We must in turn entrust it to others. Can it be altered? No. By definition, if you alter a pattern, it is no longer a pattern. And even the gospel said that. Remember, a different gospel is no gospel at all. Adding, modifying, or subtracting is impossible. You will destroy the pattern if you do any of those things. What about those who differ? Keep away from them. Keep away from someone who does not bring the correct pattern. Maybe you can help them, maybe you can't, but it's a dangerous thing. It's something that God is very clear. I hope you've seen this in Scripture. Keep away. They will be eternally condemned. What can I do? I can guard it. I can guard the pattern as it was entrusted to me. I can teach it. I can teach the pattern. As close as I can get to the pattern, I can teach it. You know, I had a hard time getting really, really, really close with my scissors. You can't. Where, do you cut the line in half? Do you cut on the outside edge of the line? Do you cut on the inside edge of the line? There is a little bit of that that you need to do when you cut a pattern. The same thing is true with Scripture. You need to examine every edge. Is this a valid? Is this important? Is this significant? Does it say? Is it an example? There's a lot of things that you can do. Guard it, teach it, and then entrust it. Pass it on. I'm not going to be able to keep the pattern forever. I have to give it to someone else so that they can give it to someone else so that they can give it to someone else. That's the pattern according to Scripture. So then with those thoughts, we will have a song of invitation.